September, we've been doing this series. My hope is that it has helped you better understand your own salvation, that more importantly, it may have helped you better understand who God is and just how important this salvation is and how important it is when we say that Christ died on the cross for our sins. It is an incredible and amazing thing. Okay? Going to give you just a brief recap of the series. Okay, I promise I'm not going to re-preach the entire series this morning, but I'm going to give you the brief recap of what we've been talking about so far. We began looking at who God is and many of the qualities of who He is. The fact that God is perfect, that God is good, and we really hit on how self-sufficient God is. The fact that God doesn't need us. God is 100% complete in who He is, okay? And that's kind of an affront to most of us as human beings. We're like, no, God needs me. You don't understand. I'm awesome, okay? But the fact is, God does not need us. He wants us. And that puts us in a much greater position, okay? Then we started looking at who we really are in and of ourselves. Our sinfulness, our rebellion against God, and how serious it is when we exchange the worship of the Creator of the universe for the things that He created. Okay? And a lot of us don't. We don't go bowing down to trees. We don't go doing things like that. So don't think of creation that way. But there are all kinds of wonderful things that God has given us that we go chasing after those things rather than chasing after God. And after you understand how amazing God is, you begin to understand how serious an offense that really is. And the fact that hell really is a just dessert for what we've done. For chasing after these other things rather than chasing after God. And the other thing that hell points out to us is just how amazing and glorious God really is. And I know that seems kind of backwards, but when you think about the horrors of what the Bible describes hell is like, and you go, if this is just punishment for ignoring God, how amazing is God? Okay? Think about that one for a little while. After that, we moved on to Jesus Christ, and we talked about who He is and what He did for us. And we spend lots of time talking about Him in church, and we know those stories very well. Then we looked at other responses that we often give, okay? Oftentimes, we respond either by hardening our heart or the ice of our heart melting away, okay? That whole Puritan saying of the same sun that hardens the clay melts the ice. That's what we talked about and how we respond to Christ, okay, and what He has done for us. We looked at the soil or the condition of our hearts and the fact that we have got to have our hearts set and basically ready for the fruit of repentance, for that to come forward, okay? Then we walked through a lot of the specific doctrines of salvation. We looked at predestination, justification, adoption, sanctification, and how those things really fit into the Christian life. We also looked at how sanctification works itself out with our fellow human beings. All of this has been pointing to God's redemption or reconciliation of us. Okay? The idea of reconciliation is to fix, to bring back into alignment, or to bring it back to the way things were meant to be. Okay? So we chose to break from the Creator, chase down paths that are not leading us into the fullness of life that He designed, but He comes after us to reconcile us to Himself, to bring us back into that alignment that was supposed to be there in the first place. Okay? A lot of times we try fixing these problems on our own, oftentimes with lies. Okay? We've talked about these things. I need a better version of myself. But what we really need to hear is, if you are the problem, how is a better version of yourself? How are you ever going to get to a better version of yourself? How are you ever going to be there? How is that ever going to help? Okay? I need someone to complete me. Okay? I need a spouse. I need a friend. I need my child. They complete me. Well, people can certainly compliment you, and that's a good thing, but they can't complete you. And when you think that a person is supposed to complete you, you are putting undue stress on a relationship and putting too much on them, expecting them to fulfill that role of who God is and who He's supposed to be in your life. Okay? A lot of times we buy the lie that society tells us that you just need more stuff. More stuff is going to satisfy. Just go out and buy everything you want. And we don't seem to get the idea that what we buy today in 5 years or so is going to be in the church rummage sale. Okay? And we all know that's true. What we get today is eventually going in the church rummage sale because I've seen it all come through. Okay? Somehow we think worldly pleasures are going to fulfill us, and so we go chasing after those things that the world offers, and we find out just how hollow and empty those things really are. Some people try the religious route. They want to be good and do the right thing and obey so that God will bless them. You ever notice that that's backwards? I just put this up on Facebook not long ago. A lot of people obey so that they will get God's blessing, and that's not the way it works. God blesses, and then we're motivated to obey. That's the way it works. God gives us His blessing, and then we see it, we understand it, God opens our eyes to it, and then we follow Him, and we obey Him. Okay? The reason that none of these things work is because we are the problem. Okay? We keep trying to do this in and of ourselves, but we are the ones who are the problem. The heart is wicked, and we are in need of a heart transplant. And the transplant can only be provided by God Himself through Jesus Christ. All of God's wrath toward our sin, when we trust in Christ, was absorbed by Christ on the cross. Okay? You realize this. You will never, ever, if you have put your faith and trust in Christ, you will never face the wrath of God. Ever. Because that was absorbed by Christ. Now, you might face discipline from God, but that's a different issue. You will never face the wrath of God. But further than that, okay, rather than just being sin-free, and God said, okay, I've wiped away your sin, God then says, you know what, I'm going to give you all of my righteousness. You're going to have all the righteousness of Christ. And so when God looks at us, He sees Christ. We are perfect, and we are sinless. We are righteous because of who Christ is, okay? Understand something, though. We live that out. We live out this perfect righteousness that we've been given by Christ. We live that out imperfectly. We don't always live up to what we are. That's what our goal is. We're always trying to live up to what God has already declared us to be. But we do fail in that regard. Okay? A lot of people, when they see that, they go, you know what? The church is so full of hypocrites. That's why I don't want to go to church. You're a bunch of hypocrites. And the proper response to that, folks, is, yes and amen, the church is full of hypocrites. And you'd fit right in. So you ought to come with. Okay? Because that's the reality. We all fall short. Nobody lives that perfect life. Okay? The gospel works through our lives and even touches our relationships with other people. But the biggest scandal of the gospel is that we do not have to earn our salvation or this new heart that God gives us. God gives us the new heart so that we can love and serve Him. So, you're going to go to two places in your Bible today. First one's Ezekiel 36. And I would have put these verses on the screen because there's only two of them, but I want you to see them in your own Bible or in the Bible that's sitting in your hands right now because they are so good. Ezekiel 36, starting with verse 26. And he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You see what just happened? God did the heart surgery for us. God took out the old heart, put it to the side, gave us a new heart, gave us His Spirit so that we have the desire to seek and to follow after Him. Just what we said. God blesses us with this new heart, which then gives us the motive and the desire and the drive to follow and obey Him. Okay? Now, grab your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 5. Told you just two places today. Matthew chapter 5. We're We're looking at Matthew chapter 5 because this is going to be a way that we begin to understand how we can glorify our Father who is in heaven. Okay? We're going to start actually with verse 14, then we're going to jump backwards. Starting with verse 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay? Now, this passage is addressed to Christians. Okay, so this is not just addressed to just anybody who reads this. This is addressed to believers in Christ. Today, if you are new here or you're pretty young here in coming and everything, some of these things may come across as a little bit arrogant on occasions, and I'm trying to keep that well balanced so it doesn't sound like we're being elitist or anything. But some of these things are directly and focused on who we are as Christians. Okay, so regardless of who you are or what you believe, okay, whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Buddhist, Baha'i, whatever, okay, whatever your faith may be in, everybody believes that there is something out there that is the light of the world. Okay? And let me illustrate. Christ said to his followers that that he was the light of the world, but that we would also be the light of the world as well. Some Christians, or some people go, really? Because I've met Christians, okay? I know some. And they're really more of a holy terror than a help to the world sometimes. And while I can't go into that because we would get way off topic for where we're headed today, I would say two things. Number one, there are some things that I would have to tell you about, but we can't go there. But number two, any true, genuine follower of Jesus Christ is always, always going to be seeking to help people in the world. They're going to be living out their faith in such a way that they are being a help to the people around them. Okay? But everyone has something that they think is the light of the world. Okay? Some people think it's education. If we just educate people more, that's the light of the world. They're going to see and they're going to understand. Okay? Some people think it's opportunity. We just need to make sure that people have lots of opportunities, and then that is going to help them to be able to live better. Some people think it's the government. Although from what I understand, most people are probably down on that one anymore. But yes, some people say the government's going to help us and that's what's how we're going to move forward. Okay? Not to be rude to any of you, if you're all going, yes, I agree, education, yeah, all right. Not to be rude to any of you, but all of these and any others that we can name are all far worse than the gospel. Okay? Some of you aren't going to like this next part, but that's okay. You can chew me out later or shoot me or whatever. I don't care. America is a capitalist nation, correct? Yes, we are a capitalist nation. Capitalism does nothing to transform the heart. Sorry to break the news to you. Capitalism does nothing to transform the heart. Now, the system that we've created for capitalism, wealth can be gained, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But a lot of times, wealth is gained at the expense of the poor. And because of a capitalist nation, sometimes you wind up having a bigger gap between those who have and those who don't have. Okay? What capitalism does set up is an opportunity for the heart of man to take over and for greed and injustice and things of that nature to start taking over and drawing us away from who God is. Okay? Now, am I hating on America? No, I love my country. Don't worry. Okay? Love the freedoms that we enjoy in America. It's an awesome place to live. But what I am saying is simple. Capitalism, if you think that capitalism is the light of the world, capitalism does nothing to change hearts, to end oppression, to end injustice, to end any of those things. The gospel is what changes hearts. Okay? So whatever you name outside the gospel, it is never going to transform hearts. All it's going to do is create some form of a structure that the heart of man is going to take over, and things are going to be bad. Okay? Because, as Jeremiah tells us, the heart is desperately wicked. Okay? So we're going to wind up with things like injustice because our hearts are wicked. So, For instance, if you think education, we'll give you another one. If you think education is one of those lights of the world, I face this all the time because I sit on the sex education committee at the school. And they're like, we just need to give them education and help them know about what things are, and then, you know, they'll be able to make wise decisions. Like, we've given them education for years and years and years, and occasionally it'll help some folks. But does it help everybody? No. Because the heart is going to do what the heart wants to do. It's only the gospel that's going to transform, not just education. Okay? People go, technology! Technology's going to change everything. It's going to be our savior, right? Okay? It's going to be wonderful. It's going to make more space and everything for relationships. We can connect better and so on and so forth. How many of you have ever texted someone in your own house? While you're in the house in the same place? Okay? Yeah, a lot more FaceTime, right? Okay? Where are you? I can't find you. Okay? These things are not our saviors. These things are not the light of the world. Okay? It's a problem for man that we often think we know what we need, and then when we go after it, things only get worse. Okay? We think we can solve the problems, and then something unexpected that we didn't see crops up. So let me give you an example. Think about the building materials that we used to use. Asbestos, lead paint, radon, all that kind of stuff. Man, this house is going to be great. We're going to build it up. We're going to put all this wonderful new insulation in it. It's called asbestos, and it's going to be awesome. And then what comes along? The mesothelioma, right? Okay. Stuff that they breathe in and causes problems, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You guys know where the term mad as a hatter came from? Eric does, of course. When they used to make hats, they used to use mercury in the process of making hats. And because of that, they would be wearing their hats as advertisement to the rest of the world and so on and so forth. But they had this mercury seeping down into their system, and what it wound up doing was forming a form of dementia where literally they would start to go crazy. Okay? And that's where we get the term mad as a hatter. But we go, oh, these are great new hats. You need to try them, right? They've got a great new system for making these. Because we're not seeing the future as to what could take place long term. Okay? Bible says that we are the lights of the world. And Christ is talking about us, those of us who are Christians, who have our faith and trust in Christ. Because of what Christ has done for us and the way he has given us this new heart and exchanged it for that rock that we used to have, we have become the lights of the world, and we are here to show the world a better way. Okay? So, let's get into how we're going to show the world a better way. Back up in chapter 5 to verse 2. Actually, sorry, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We'll stop there. Blessed means more than happy, folks. Okay, it's that spiritual joy. We talked about it last week, that spiritual joy that continues on even when circumstances say, you shouldn't be joyous. You should be the exact opposite right now, but we continue on in our joy. So blessed are the poor in spirit. Basically, they are the ones who, they know that they got nothing before God. Okay, they come before God, they're like, I got nothing to offer. That's it, okay? They're basically standing in contrast to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they thought they had it all figured out. Like, my righteousness is just so awesome, okay? You guys just don't even know. I'm just so amazing, and I do everything right. I follow the law to the letter, and I'm just perfect. And these are the folks who go, I'm not perfect. I really don't have anything to offer God because I know that I'm not perfect, okay? They know that everything that they have is a gift from God. And they've got nothing apart from Him. So, this may sound a little harsh, but keep in mind that I love you all, okay? If you think that you are so awesome that you don't need a Savior, you're not saved. Sorry if that hurts, okay? If there is not a little bit in you that is crying out, God, help me, then you have not come to the end of yourself, and you have not come face to face with your Savior. You still think you are your Savior, okay? Next verse. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, this mourning is not being sad over negative circumstances or things of that nature. It is being broken over sin. It's seeing how far you have fallen short before God and mourning over that sin because you exchanged your worship of the Creator for His creation instead. And you go, why did I do that? That was dumb. God, I want you more. But the best part of this is it says, those who mourn will be comforted. So think about that for just a second. Okay, think about the story of the woman caught in adultery. You guys all know the story. Woman gets dragged, thrown in front of a bunch of people, and said, hey, this woman was found caught in adultery doing the actual act. And of course, there's just her, but there she is. Okay, a little hard to do that by yourself, but okay. Just her right there, and everybody's great getting ready to throw stones, and Jesus goes, all right, first one without sin, go ahead and start tossing stones. And slowly, one by one, starting with the older ones, okay, I always love that part that was thrown in there, starting with the older ones, they dropped the rocks and started walking away, okay, until all of them were gone, and Jesus said, who's here to condemn you? And she says, no one, sir. And he says, I don't condemn you either, go and sin no more. That's a comforting statement. The man who could condemn her says, I don't condemn you either. That's awesome. That's being comforted, okay? This should also help us see something, though, that conviction is really a gift from God. Conviction gets a bad rap, but it can very well be a very good thing, okay? When we are convicted before God of our sin, that is when we're going to receive comfort. When we start going, yeah, that really is sin. Rather than trying to play games with it, go, well, it's really not that big of a deal, okay? No, when we're convicted about our sin, that's when we receive the comfort from God that He goes, I still love you. Okay? If you walk out of church and you're feeling convicted about your sin, praise God. That's awesome. Okay? If you don't ever feel convicted about your sin, please start to worry. Because that means you may not have that relationship with Christ. He's not talking to you and saying, this is wrong, you need to stop this. Okay? You should worry if you don't ever feel convicted about sin. We should be mourning over our sin. And God gives the opportunity to remind us that He paid for all of those sins too. So basically, He lifts us up and He tells us that He hasn't abandoned us just because we messed up and we're still His. That's that comfort that comes in when we're convicted of our sin and we confess that to Him. Next verse. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. One of the myths regarding meekness is that it's basically equal to being passive. Okay? But here's the thing. If you're a follower of Christ, the deeper you believe in God's promises, the bolder you become. The more you really believe that this is really what, when God says that this is what's going to happen, you become bolder in your faith. When you're really convicted about hell is a horrible place and I don't want my friends to go there, you become more bold about sharing your faith with someone because you recognize where they're headed. Okay? So the more you believe in those things, the bolder you become. So that is far from passive. That's actually a very active thing. Playing out in life, you're a business person. You want to build up your business. It's not a bad thing. Aim high. Go for it. Okay? Make it to the top, but make sure you do that in godly ways. Don't neglect your family to get to the top. Don't step on other people to get to the top, because those are not godly ways of doing business. Make sure that you are walking in Christ. Work like crazy. That's fine. Go forward. But make sure you're doing it in a godly fashion, okay? Being righteous does not necessarily equal being passive. Meekness enters the picture when we keep life in perspective that God gave us everything that we have, okay? We're not self-made men and women. We recognize that Christ is our Savior, that He provided for us, and allowed us to achieve all the things that we've actually achieved, Next one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Bible teaches that we are supposed to be content in life, correct? We're supposed to be content with the things that we have. It's okay to seek after your dreams. That's awesome. But be content with the things that God has given you. So in other words, just because you have dreams of doing something bigger and grander than what you've been achieving so far, that's perfectly fine. But don't let it be because I have to do these things because I gotta have a bigger car. And I gotta have a house with at least 17 rooms so that I can have a maid who cleans all of that and, you know, my dog enjoys the house while I work all day long. That's not what you should be doing. You should not be going after those kinds of things. But the one thing that God says that we should always be discontent with is the depth of our experience and our knowledge of Him. That holy discontent that we've talked about before, okay? That drive that says, I always want more of Christ. And we've told you this before, if Christ is really infinite, there is no way that you're ever going to reach the end of who He is, okay? There is always more to be had. And I feel this way a lot of times. I told this to the guys in my Bible study group. I got a lot of knowledge up here, but it's always the experience, the heartfelt parts that I'm always seeking after deeper, okay? Because I want this to filter down to here, to become part of my life, to become part of my heartbeat of life, okay? This is all over the Bible, this concept of seeking after God, but I'll give you just one verse, one place. Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. And the picture is this deer is going to fall over dead if he doesn't get some water. And that's what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be desiring God above all else. Okay? Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Now, before I move on to the rest of the list, let me point out two things. Number one, these first four things are things that the world does not gravitate toward. In fact, they fight against all of these things we just mentioned, tooth and nail. But the second thing, again, if these things are not present in your life in some way, shape, or form, you're not seeing them as part of who you are, you need to do a heart check to see if you are really following after Christ. Okay? Now, I keep saying that over and over again in this sermon, but here's the reason why. I would rather be up here and be mean to you and tell you that you need to check your heart because these things are not present in your life, so you need to check whether or not you really believe in Christ. I'd rather have you hear that out of my mouth a million times over than hear it out of God's mouth once. You get it? Because when you hear it out of His mouth, it's going to be, depart from me because I never knew you. So I will beat down on you folks to make sure that you guys are checking your hearts and making sure that you are following after Christ and that these things are becoming a part of who you are and how you live your life. Moving on. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. When the first four are at work in us, these first four things that we listed off, we're being humble, we're dependent on God. What happens is we start getting this growing empathy for other people. What God's mercy does in us is that we receive the kingdom of heaven. We receive His comfort. We receive inheriting the earth, and it gives us compassion for those who don't know any better. Because the world's not going to hunger for righteousness. That's us. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. But because of how Christ has acted in us, we start to show mercy to other people. Okay? We never get high and mighty, thinking that God has given us all this stuff, so we're amazing. We never think of ourselves better than other people. We wind up having compassion and mercy and grace for others. Blessed is the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, he's talking about us seeking purity in our hearts, okay? Be honest. Has anyone ever been scared of the dark thoughts that have run through your mind at given times? Okay. I'll be honest, okay? yeah, there's occasions when I just scare the living daylights out of myself going, really? Did that just go through my head? Okay. Yes, I'm standing here. I'm talking to this guy. He is really annoying the living daylights out of me. I want to punch him dead in the face. And I'm going, why am I thinking this way? That is not compassion. That is not grace. That is not bearing with one another. That is not any of those things that I'm supposed to be about. But I scare myself sometimes with the things that I think in my head. Okay. It's crazy how we can slip into those dark moments about those thoughts. Bible says we're supposed to be taking every thought captive for Christ, confess those dark moments, and rely on His strength to help us in those times, okay? Asking for pure motives, to be delivered from angry thoughts, or lustful thoughts, or gossipy thoughts, or whatever it may be at that particular moment. Seek being a person that is pure in heart, and is not going to stand for those kinds of thoughts coming through our hearts and through our minds. Next one. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now, peacemakers do not stand for disunity at all. They stop it before it gets started. Okay? So they're one of those people going, you know what, I'm not going to listen to this. If you got a problem with this brother over here, you need to go talk to them. Don't talk to me. Okay? Or don't talk to just me. It's one thing to get a sounding board and say, okay, let's get a sounding board. Now, fix the problem. Get over there and go talk to that brother, because that's what you need to do to solve this issue. Peacemaker is going to risk conflict for the sake of ultimate peace, genuine peace. They might be the ones who actually point out the good things. When everybody else is just ripping on somebody, they're going, yeah, but did you realize that this guy is great with some of the shut-ins in our church? He goes over there and they make meals for them 3 times a week. It's awesome. That's the kind of person that a peacemaker is. Okay, they're the ones that kind of drop that awkward bomb right in the middle of everything. Just poof, and you go, whoa, okay, that was just a little crazy. But they do it because they will not stand for disunity among God's people. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Read that one again, real quick. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's because of righteousness. It is not because they're stupid. Okay? So for instance, if I get stopped on the highway doing 95 miles an hour, that's not persecution. You know what that's called? Justice, okay? I'm getting exactly what I deserve. I broke the law and they're coming after me. That is not persecution because I'm a Christian and they're suddenly picking on me. I did something stupid and I deserve to get punished for it, okay? So where this comes into play is when you're at work and you're expected to do something illegal, immoral, to get the job done. We don't care, just get the job done. You gotta lie to a client. You gotta fix numbers on the books. If you lose your job because you refuse to go after those things, to do those things, to operate in that gray area where your boss wants you to operate, there is something you desperately need to hear. Good for you. You need to hear that. You need to know that it is the right thing to do, that we do those things because they are right before God, okay? If you are being persecuted for your righteousness, the kingdom of heaven is yours. When you're going, I'm doing the right thing, but they're trying to beat me down, that is an awesome thing. But pastor, what about his family? How's he going to provide? Answer, I'm not entirely certain what's going to happen to the guy if he loses his job because he does the right thing. But the one thing I do know is God is faithful. And if God is going to move this person to do the right thing at that moment, I trust that God is going to be faithful to this person to provide another job, to provide something further down the line for the very reason that he was actually being righteous and being correct. Okay? Next one. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Okay? I promise you, you are going to start seeing this happen more and more as Christianity becomes the enemy in this country all the more. Okay? And we are already beginning to see that happening, maybe more than you realize. Okay? In some ways, this is a good thing, because what this is going to wind up doing for the church It's going to weed out the people who don't really believe in Christ, who are just kind of along for the ride, but they don't actually have their faith in Christ, from the ones who really are holding on to who Christ is and really are believing in Christ. Okay? But it puts us in a position that we've never faced before, because in this nation, we have always been a Christian nation. And now, things are turning to the point where Christians are actually almost becoming the enemy in some scenarios. Okay? Christianity is already being painted in broad brush strokes by some folks. And I'll give you one example. The issue of same-sex marriage is huge in the news right now. Okay? And the government and even some churches are passing legislation regarding it. But the language being used about Christians is coming out very loud and very clear. We're accused of being bigots. We're accused of being intolerant. We're being compared to the KKK. All kinds of crazy stuff. Follow me closely on what I'm about to say here. All of those accusations about us being bigots, about us being like the KKK, all that kind of stuff, those things better be false. You got me? You following me here? They can accuse us all they want, but that should never be true of us. We should be people of compassion. We should be people of love, of patience, and of mercy. Anybody who points a finger at us saying, these people are intolerant, they're bigots, they're all this other kind of stuff, they should actually stand there and be confused. Because they go, these people say that they don't believe in same-sex marriage, but they've got gay friends. They say they don't believe in this stuff, but look how they treat them with respect and love and caring. People should be confused by our behavior because we take a stand and say, this is what God says, we believe that this is what is true. But you know what? I'm still going to be treating the people around me with compassion, with appropriate measures of love. Love enough to say, yeah, God does not agree with this, but we still treat them with love. If for no other reason, simply because they are an image bearer of God. Okay? And so we treat them with respect in that regard. So those things, all those accusations against Christians and all this, should be false. We should never be bigoted. We should never be any of those things. This whole message is all about how we are lights of the world because of the love that God has already showed to us. It doesn't stop with those that we disagree with. We don't isolate ourselves from the world, horn in, and just be like, okay, bunker down in the church and we're not going to talk to anybody else outside the church. No. We're not going to catch somebody else's sin from being around them. We do need to be wise. But we are Christ's lights to the world, which means we need to get out there and pierce the darkness. We need to be out there in society so that they see what a real Christian is really all about. So I urge you to let your light shine in the darkness. Trust in God as to how He's going to use you to shine. Trust in Him that He is going to be drawing people to Himself through the light that you shine. But most of all, let the light shine and watch and see what amazing things God is going to do for His glory when you do that. Let's pray. God, thanks for your word and thanks for how it guides us. Lord, we pray that as we see and understand just this heart surgery that you've already performed on us, the blessings that you've already given to us, Lord, let us be motivated. Let us be excited to obey you. Let us be excited to be lights to the world and show your glory to everyone around. Lord, we know that not everybody's going to say yes to you that we show this glory to, but we know that there are people who are going to be drawn to it. There are people who are going to see genuine Christians and they want what they have. So God, I pray that you are going to be leading us to some of those folks, that we are going to see results as we talk to our friends, our families, our neighbors about who you are, and that they are going to come to know you as their Savior. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.